on Wings of Music, Mutual presents the Air Force Hour. Climb aboard the Air Force Hour and prepare to take off in song.
Switch on!
Switch on! Switch on!
Announcing your crew for the Air Force Hour, the all-airman show of the Department of Defense, transcribed. Lieutenant Colonel George S. Howard conducting the Air Force Symphony Orchestra. Baritone soloist Sergeant Glenn Darwin. The singing sergeants under the direction of Warrant Officer Robert Landers. And your Air Force reporter. And I'm your navigator, Lieutenant Cass Bielski, advising you to fasten safety belts and prepare to take off.
So take off on your Air Force.
Now, here is the orchestra tonight under the direction of Warrant Officer John Yoselitis, supplying our takeoff power with June is Bustin' Out All Over. The singing sergeants, Warrant Officer Robert Landers directing, take over the controls to plot the first leg of tonight's musical mission. They sing Yonder, Yonder. spotlight swings now from the singing sergeants to our crew chief, baritone soloist Sergeant Glenn Darwin. He steps front and center to our Air Force Hour microphone to sing the title song from Vincent Eumann's hit of 1929, Great Day.
When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout, there's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by there's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will warn you, somebody warn you, will hear his horn. Rosen, it's not far away. Hold up your heads and say, there's gonna be a great day. There's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise it by and by. There's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will warn you, somebody warn you, will hear his horn. It's not far away. Hold up your hands and say, there's gonna be a great day.
Corporal Jackson in the tower. Instructions for the Air Force Hour just received. Your destination, the boat dock at Bowling Air Force Base. Your mission, the story of the Bowling Crash Boat Squadron. Lying along the banks of the broad Potomac River here in Washington are three airfields: Anacostia Naval Air Station, National Airport, and Bowling Air Force Base. Water to an airplane in distress means added hazards. Even with a safe forced landing, you don't get out and walk away. Not when the landing is made on water. Thus, as a precautionary measure in the event of aircraft accidents, the Bowling Crash Boat Squadron came into being. It was a precautionary measure that's paid off in lives saved. But now, standing by at the boat dock to bring you that story, is reporter Lieutenant John Hollowell.
This is Lieutenant John Hollowell reporting for the Air Force Hour from the boat docks of the 1100th Rescue Boat Squadron at Bowling Air Force Base. Here on the banks of the Potomac is the nerve center for all water rescue operations in the Washington area. This is the closely knit, efficient, well-disciplined unit that in its short history has performed many successful rescue missions. Standing beside me is First Lieutenant Walter G. Kelly, officer in charge of the rescue squadron. As commanding officer of this unit, he is responsible for the emergency readiness, operation, and training of the squadron at all times. Tell me, Walter, how does it feel to be a seagoing pilot? Or should we say, a river-going pilot?
Better say river pilot, John. Actually, we operate our boats in the best seagoing tradition, without losing sight of the fact that we're still Air Force.
I can see that that really is an unusual assignment for Air Force personnel. How about telling us something about the squadron's job here at Bowling?
Our mission here at Bowling is actually a twofold one. First of which is rescue coverage for the Washington area, which includes three major airfields, Bowling, Anacostia, and National. This rescue coverage includes any and all types of water emergencies. Further, we operate a marine boat service between Bowling Air Force Base and the Pentagon. This actually serves as a medium of crew training. You need quick, economical means of transportation.
I see. That's really quite an assignment. 24 hours a day, every day in the year. For your rescue operations, what type of rescue equipment do you use? And then, in case of an emergency, about how long does it take to get underway?
As the equipment, we operate 42 and 22-foot rescue boats. As soon as we are notified that an emergency exists, we can be underway within 1 minute. In any rescue operation of ours, speed and efficiency are both prime factors.
Yes, speed and efficiency are necessary in any emergency operation. While visiting the 1100th Rescue Boat Squadron, an emergency alert was received from Bowling Tower. The alarm was sounded at once.
Okay, Frankie, get this thing rolling. Check. Break out the craft here. Check.
The standby skipper immediately reported to his rescue boat. In a matter of seconds, they were on their way, ready to render whatever assistance might become necessary. Each airman crew member, ready to save a drowning man, to face the hazards of fire or explosion, to administer first aid, to right a capsized craft, to perform any emergency rescue operation that might face them. This is the mission of all rescue boat squadrons of the United States Air Force. Fortunately, the aircraft whose temporary distress condition necessitated this alert landed safely and the mission came to a happy ending. Returning to the boat docks, I talked to Tech Sergeant Morris Red Flounlacker of New York City, our skipper on the rescue boat.
Red, tell me, do you always get underway that fast?
Sure do, Lieutenant. As a matter of fact, I thought it was kind of slow today.
Well, how did you happen to get into this boat squadron here at Bowling Field?
Well, sir, I was in the Navy 7 years before I came here. I acted as a quartermaster in the Navy.
Well, that's quite a change, though, isn't it?
Yes, but I like boats in the water, and so I thought it was a natural choice for me. With this new airman career field and all, I think it's even better.
Well, I think you've really hit the nail on the head. Thank you, Tech Sergeant Morris Red Flounlacker, for being with us today, and also for that fast, fast ride. And now this is your Air Force reporter, Lieutenant John Hollowell, returning you to the Air Force Hour.
We continue the Air Force Hour from Washington, D.C. Breathes there a man with soul so dead who never to himself has said, "This is my own, my native land." Take that thought, set it to music, and you'll find it beautifully expressed in "The Last Mile Home."
Thank you.
traveled that last mile home. The war, at least the shooting, is over. You can sit back now and relax and think. The memories you have of the last 9 years aren't all bitter. For instance, there was that leave you had, the weekend you spent on the Riviera. It was just about the time a Frenchman wrote a tune that was soon to sweep America. You heard it then. Remember, Symphony? Notation by the next entry in tonight's Air Force Hour log, A Trip Inside USA. And from the musical bearing the same title, Sergeant Glenn Darwin sings Haunted Heart.
Thrill my haunted heart.
is the Air Force Hour. We circle the home field now, and preparations are made to land. As the tower clears as number one to land and we begin our letdown into traffic, Warrant Officer Yeselitis and the orchestra climax tonight's Air Force Hour with the Galloping Comedians. Base in Washington, the Department of Defense has presented the Air Force Hour, transcribed, featuring the Air Force Symphony Orchestra, Lieutenant Colonel George S. Howard, conductor, and the singing sergeants under the direction of Warrant Officer Robert Lander. Music tonight was under the direction of Warrant Officer John Yeselitis, with arrangements by Sergeant Fred Kefter. The Air Force Hour is produced, written, and directed by Captain Mark D. Moran, and is heard overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is your Air Force Navigator, Lieutenant Cass Bielski, speaking.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.